الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، we continue discussing the تفسير الشيخ عبد الرحمن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى وأدخله فسيح جناته. We had stopped in our last session at ayah number 177, which we concluded, and today inshallah we will initiate this class with the discussion on ayah 178 of Surah Ali Imran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا يحسبن الذين كفروا أنما نملي لهم خير لأنفسهم إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما ولهم عذاب مهين. And let not the disbelievers think that our postponing of their punishment is good for them. We postpone the punishment only so that they may increase in sinfulness, and for them is a disgracing torment. The Shaykh says, rahimahullah, أي ولا يظن الذين كفروا بربهم ونابذوا دينه وحاربوا رسوله أن تركنا إياهم في هذه الحياة الدنيا وعدم استئصالنا لهم وإملائنا لهم خير لأنفسهم ومحبة منا لهم. So let the disbelievers not think, those who belied their Lord and Master, they fought against his religion and they declared war against his messenger, that our postponing, our abandonment of punishment in this worldly life and not eradicating them or allowing them to continue, let them not think that this is good for them or because we have love for them or because they have a special love, they are loved by Allah Azza wa Jal, as the Christians claim, and they are liars in their claim that God loves everyone. And the average Christian, as soon as he sees you, he will tell you Jesus loves you. And tell him, really? When did he tell you that? Did he say my name Abu Mus'ab? He will tell you, oh, I spoke to God last night. Very common for the Christians. He'll be speaking to the jinn and the shayateen. And he will tell you, I was speaking to God. So when they tell you that Jesus loves me, when they tell you that Jesus loves you because God is all love, tell him, really, but I don't believe he's the Messiah. I believe he's the Messiah. I don't believe he's my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry. I don't believe he's my Lord and Savior, and I don't want to accept him as my Lord and Savior. Does he still love me? Say yes. Some of them will say yes, some of them will say no. If they say no, say then why did you claim in the beginning he loved me? While I always believed what I just told you, so you were lying. Or if they say he still loves you, say okay, if I die in that state, will I go to paradise? If I don't want Jesus as Lord and Savior, and they claim that the only way you can enter paradise, salvation, is only acquired through accepting Jesus. Say, if I die in that state, will I still go to paradise? They will say, no, you go to hell. So is God going to put people whom he loves in hell for eternity? There's no escape. So they lie. They're professional liars. And they're very ignorant. Very, very ignorant people. As Allah called them in the Quran, Dalleen. They're lost. They don't have any beneficial knowledge. It's just a bunch of assumptions. So this is how you deal with them. We have a different belief system. Obviously Allah does not love everyone. Allah loves those who deserve love. How? If someone has a hard time understanding that, we can give them, you know, examples of things in life. A boss has 5 employees. The 3 who do their job, you know, professionally, are the ones whom he loves, and the other 2, he just can't wait to fire them. Even though at the moment they're on a salary, he's paying them, they come to work, they go, they get their rights, but he hates them. And if it weren't for the need or for some other situation, he would have kicked them out from day one. And parents love their children unequally. You don't love all that. You may have a crazy child that really drives you crazy, and you watch read the news, CNN news. In America, every other day a mother kills her 3 children, 2 children, a father kills his wife and children, they're tired of them. It happens. They kill their children, they're tired. to death. There was this young boy, I forgot his name now, 2-3 year old, little cute little baby. They burnt him, kicked him around, torture. This is the father. So you think no one will do this? Yeah, be parents who have children, hate them so much that they kill them. And they don't kill them by, you know, an easy death by shooting him once. No, no. It's torture. Another one put his daughter in the closet for 3 weeks. Tied her up and put her in the closet for 3 weeks. I mean, you think, subhanAllah, do people do this? Say yes. So not all parents love their children. They may love one and they may hate another. Now, of course, there's this element of parenthood, which usually, but not everyone has it. And some people wind up hating the heck out of their children. So we say, look, human beings have this issue of love and hatred depending on how you behave. The child who does good is loved, the one who doesn't is not. And to Allah belongs the highest example, the righteous slaves of Allah who follow His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will love them. And those who don't follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it is non-Muslims totally rejecting him or Muslims not following the Sunnah, Allah will not love them as much. Allah will not love them as much. So this is what we believe. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ كَلَّا لَيْسَ الْأَمْرَ كَمَا زَعَمُوا. The Shaykh said, nay, the affair is not as they claimed. يعني, Allah postponing the punishment is not because Allah loves them or because there is goodness in there for them. وَإِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ لِشَرٍ يُرِيدُهُ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ وَزِيَادَةُ عَذَابٍ وَعُقُوبَةٍ إِلَى عَذَابٍ وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Rather, it is because of some evil which Allah intends for them, so that their punishment and their torment may be multiplied over their original one. So Allah will allow them to remain upon earth so they can acquire more sins, so their punishment can be multiplied. Why? Because these individuals are not qualified to be guided. And they don't stop there. Not only they reject Allah's deen, these are the same individuals who fight against it, who warn against it. So not only they're not accepting the da'wah of the haqq, but they give da'wah to batil. They give da'wah to falsehood. And because of this enmity against Allah, His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the religion of Islam, these people, Allah will allow them to remain. They will continue to have wealth and power and what have you. But this is not good for them. It's not that Allah loves them so He allowed them. Otherwise Allah would have destroyed them from day one. Allah could right now kill all the kuffar on earth, and only Muslims will survive. But it's a fitna. It's a trial. So we can be tested. What will we do? And they will be increased in punishment because of their consistence and consistency in denying Allah and His Messenger and fighting the religion of Islam. على كل حال. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. We only postpone their punishment so they may increase in sin, and for them is a disgraceful torment. فَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى يُمْلِي لِلظَّالِمْ حَتَّى يَزْدَادَ طُغْيَانَهُ. So Allah Azza wa Jal will delay and postpone the punishment for the wrongdoer, for the oppressor, so he may increase in his transgression. وَيَتَرَادَفْ كُفْرَانَهُ حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَهُ أَخْذَ عَزِيزٍ مُقَتَدِرٍ. And he will make his disbelief double fold and triple fold, multiply, until when Allah takes him, he will seize him in a manner, the seizure of the one who is aziz, full of might, muqtadir, all able to do things. Yeah, the person cannot escape and he doesn't have power to oppose the izzah and the might of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الظَّالِمُونَ مِنَ الْإِمْهَالِ وَلَا يَظُنُّ أَن يَفُوتُ الْكَبِيرَ الْمُتَعَالِ. Ya salam. So let the wrongdoers then be careful of this postponing. Don't think that because we're being postponed, what is the ayah in Surah, is it Ibrahim or Ra'id? Surah Ibrahim. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ الْآخِرِ الْآيَاتِ. Do not think that Allah is not knowing, He's heedless concerning what the wrongdoers are doing. He's only postponing them for a day where the eyes will sink in and will be, you know, they'll be in the state of humility. they cannot even look up, you know. خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةً. Their sight will be خَاشِعَة, they'll be submissive. You know when you're feeling strong, you look someone in the face. Especially before a boxing match. Of course, boxing is something Muslims don't do. But you know how these people be looking in the face his whole life? But when you're standing in front of someone you respect, like your father, you don't be looking him in the face like that. You put your eyes down. You're in a state of humility. Now the kuffar, on the day, their necks will be down. خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ, their necks, their sight will be down. They'll be too ashamed to look around, to look at Allah Azza wa Jal, and they will not be able to see Him. But they won't even raise their faces. They will not raise their heads. They will not raise their eyesight. This is from the humiliation which Allah Azza wa Jal will inflict upon them on that day, the same way they were arrogant and prideful against His religion today. As they say, كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ. You'll be treated the way you treated people. You'll be treated the way you treated, period. Even in the religion. Wallahu musta'an. And don't think that you'll be able to avoid or escape al-kabir, the biggest, al-muta'al, the most high, from Ali, ulu, right? Wa huwa al-aliyyu al-azim, sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la. All these are derivatives of the same root word, which needless to say, affirms the belief system of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, which is that Allah is above the creation. Allah is above the creation. Meaning Allah existed and there was nothing but Allah. Then Allah created the heavens and the earth, and the throne being the highest of the creation, Allah rose over the throne. He is above His creation, separate from them. He cannot be part of His creation, because either someone says Allah created the creation in Him and this is kufr because there's shayateen in the creation, or they say that Allah created the creation outside of Him then He went in, which is also kufr. So the only option is Allah created the creation and He's ever been separate from His creation. However, the highest of the creation is the arsh, and Allah is istawa ala al-arsh. How? None of your business. How? Don't ask. You will never be able to figure it out. We don't have enough knowledge or intelligence to visualize the essence of Allah, because that is something which Allah kept as part of the unseen. So we believe. This is where we submit. Allah said in the Quran, Al-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, and we know what that means, the most merciful rose over the throne. We believe in that. How? Allahu a'lam. If it was important, Allah would have taught us in the Quran, or the Prophet ﷺ would have told the Sahaba, by the way, this is what it means. When none of these events took place, then we follow the way of the righteous predecessors, we stop where they stopped. They didn't dwell into this discussion, nor did they deny it. None of them said Allah is everywhere. Or even crazier than that, like the Mu'tazila, they say Allahu laysa fawq, wala taht, wala fil alam, wala kharij al-alam. Allah is not above, and not below, and not to the right, and not in the left, and not in the world, and not outside the world. And so the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, man, these people are worshipping non-existence. If I told you to describe non-existence, what would you say? It's not here, it's not there, it's not above, it's not below, it's not truth. That's what non-existence is, man. And these people say Allah is none of these. But so what are you worshipping? تَعْبُدُونَ عَدَمْ. They're worshipping non-existence. And those who say that Allah is like the creation, يَعْبُدُونَ صَنَمْ. They're worshipping an idol. Because we don't say Allah has a face like our faces or hands like our hands, because لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So this is the belief system of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Inshallah, special lectures will be dedicated to this subject matter, where we will elaborate on the invented belief systems of the Ash'arites and the Mu'tazilites and the Jahmites, and we will see the position of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah concerning these philosophical understandings of names and attributes of Allah. Ala kulli hal. Ayah number 179. ما كان الله ليذر المؤمنين على ما أنتم عليه حتى يميز الخبيث من الطيب وما كان الله ليطلعكم على الغيب ولكن الله يجتبي من عفوا من رسله من يشاء فآمنوا بالله ورسله وإن تؤمنوا وتتقوا فلكم أجر عظيم. Allah will not leave the believers in the state in which you are now. until He distinguishes the wicked from the good. Nor will Allah disclose to you the secrets of the unseen. But Allah chooses of His messengers whom He wills. So believe in Allah and His messengers. And if you believe and fear Allah, then for you there is a great reward. The Shaykh says, رحمه الله, أي ما كان في حكمة الله أن يترك المؤمنين على ما أنتم عليه من الاختلاط وعدم التمييز. It is not part of the wisdom of Allah. It is not part of the wisdom of Allah that He leaves you believers upon what you are on right now. In the state of being mixed, without any distinctions being made. حتى يميز الخبيث من الطيب والمؤمن من المنافق والصادق من الكاذب. Until Allah distinguishes the khabith, the wicked, from the طيب, the believer from the hypocrite, and the truthful one from the liar. Meaning some things must occur in our lives so that we would be categorized according to the standards of Allah. Not that Allah doesn't know. Allah knows which ones we are. However, as the ulama say, whenever Allah says, for example, لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهِ, so Allah will know, it means, so it may become known to us in the deen of Allah. So on Yawm al-Qiyamah, we will not say, hey, how come, you know, I'm categorized with the munafiqeen? Because Allah could say, I knew you would be a munafiq. So I put you with them. Human beings will what? They will complain. Say, no, if I were given a chance, I would have been among the believers. So Allah then allows us to lead this life so we can make the choices, and then on Yawm al-Qiyamah no one will say, well, I could have done this and that. Khalas. So Allah will know then, so we will know. Otherwise Allah knows inevitably everything that will happen and everything, everything everywhere. You know, from way back until the end, everything is known to Allah Azza wa Jal. عِلْمُهُ مُحِيطٌ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ طيب. ولم يكن في حكمته أيضا أن يطلع عباده على الغيب الذي يعلمه من عباده. Nor is it part of the wisdom of Allah that He allows the slaves, or He discloses the unseen to His slaves concerning that which He knows of them. فاقتضت حكمته الباهرة أن يبتلي عباده. So Allah's amazing ultimate wisdom entailed that He tests His slaves. ويفتنهم بما به يتميز الخبيث من الطيب من أنواع الابتلاء والامتحان. And Allah will test them and put them through trials, through which He will distinguish between the wicked and the good, and all kinds of tests and trials. فأرسل الله رسله وأمر بطاعتهم والانقياد لهم والإيمان بهم. For example, Allah sent the messengers, and He commanded us to obey them and submit to them. Submit, not the submission of Allah. Submit meaning, you know, do everything that they said. والإيمان بهم, and believing in them. Who can quote an ayah from the Quran which suggests that every prophet had commanded his people to obey him? Besides the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Give me at least one Rasul in the Quran who said to his people that obey me. Yani mentioning or declaring the fact that obedience to the Prophet or that messenger is an obligation in the deen, part of the message of the Rasul. Ahsant. He got it right there on the bullseye. Surah Nuh, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ أَنْ أَنذِرْ قَوْمَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ أَنْ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَطِيعُونِ. That you should worship Allah, have taqwa of Him, وَأَطِيعُونِ, and obey me. So this is a universal message of the prophets, that every follower or every group of followers, they were obliged to follow their messenger. And the same thing applies to the Muslims with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I hope inshallah we will do that. You know what I'm saying? نعم. وَوَعَدَهُمْ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَالتَّقْوَى الْأَجْرِ الْعَظِيمِ. And Allah promised them, if they were to believe in that messenger and have taqwa of Allah, that they will have a great reward. فانقسم الناس بحسب اتباعهم للرسل قسمين. So the people divided according to their following of the messengers into two categories, into two groups. مطيعين وعاصين ومؤمنين ومنافقين ومسلمين وكافرين. Obedient, a group of obedient, and a group which was disobedient. A group which was obedient and another one which was disobedient. A group which were believers and the other one were hypocrites. A group which were Muslims and the other ones were disbelievers, kuffar.
ليرتب على ذلك الثواب والعقاب وليظهر عدله وفضله وحكمته لخلقه.
So that Allah Azza wa Jal will make then the accountability and the reward and the punishment according to these categories which were mentioned earlier. So then of course a Muslim, believing, obedient individual will not be treated like the disobedient, hypocrite, disbeliever. So the reward will be according to the conduct. And here, sitting here today, we are no exception. We are one of these two categories, each one of us. We may have some, or suffer from some, for example, we may have some qualities of hypocrisy. One of the qualities of hypocrisy which I would like to share with you today is that we promise and we don't fulfill the promises. And that falls under coming late to the classes. Yes, ma'alish, let me be very upfront. This issue of punctuality is ridiculous. Ridiculous. We know that there are times when we are excused from coming on time because of some unexpected event, you know, that may happen. Alhamdulillah. No, that's not acceptable. Sleeping is not acceptable. Taking a longer time to eat a sandwich is not acceptable. Making sure you get the cup of tea finished before is unacceptable. What is acceptable is your car running out of gas. You had to get gas when you didn't expect to get gas. The flat tire. Your child fell and you know broke a bone before you left the house. Something like that. Otherwise, if we all agree on something, then we must fulfill that promise. It's a promise. It's a kind of what. A promise. You see what I'm saying? Otherwise we could have said the class doesn't begin at 9:15. Anyone can come any time they like, but that's not our agreement. The agreement is 9:15, the class begins, so we can all be, you know, following the step. Ma'alish. So we may have that. We may have that quality. And it's very, very, very un-Islamic, but very, very, very common among the Muslims. But the lousy kuffar who may be worth a shoe or even less than a shoe, they will not do this because of dunya. Yani for worldly reasons, they will be very punctual in order to gain the respect of the businessmen they're dealing with or to make sure the transaction goes down or what have you. But Muslims, for the sake of Allah, we're unable to do that which the kuffar do for the sake of the shayateen. That's a problem. We need to stop that stuff. Again, if you ever come in late, I assume that something happened. Don't worry. Because some people, the shaitan plays with them. He says, let me see, man. I'm 5 minutes late. Ah, forget it. I'll just stay at home. No. Come. I'll assume something happened to you. But you know between you and Allah that you really had something, you know, a good reason. Or even if you didn't have a good reason, still come. Still come. Don't miss the class. But let's start to take this matter seriously. Because it's very disheartening, very troubling. Mashi, don't worry, man. Husn al-dhan is the asl. Inshallah, I apply it. So Allah Azza wa Jalla then will show that we may have the qualities of nifaq wal iyadhu, but now ask Allah to rid us of all of our shortcomings. So Allah may show His justice, His bounty, and His wisdom to His creation. So these tests take place, and people are categorized according to the testing of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then, you know, this way the people know the justice of Allah, the bounty of Allah upon the believers, and the wisdom of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. 180, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ بَلْ هُوَ شَرٌ لَهُمْ. سيطوقون ما بخلوا به يوم القيامة ولله ميراث السماوات والأرض والله بما تعملون خبير. Here we go. Okay, and let not those who withhold with misery of that which Allah has bestowed on them of His bounty think that it is good for them, and so they do not pay the obligatory zakah. Nay, it will be worse for them the things which they with miserness withheld shall be tied to their necks like a collar on the day of resurrection. And to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. The Shaykh said, أي ولا يظن الذين يبخلون أن يمنعون ما عندهم مما أتاهم الله من فضله. وعليكم السلام. He must have a good reason. مما أتاهم الله من فضله من المال والجاه والعلم وغير ذلك. So then let those who are misery, let them not think that meaning those who withhold what Allah has bestowed upon them of His blessings, such as financial blessings or position. They're in a high rank, they have a high rank in their community. Wal-ilm, or knowledge, or other than that, for which Allah Azza wa Jalla has granted them and showed His special mercy to them through these blessings. وَأَمَرَهُمْ بِبَذْلِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّ مِنْهُ الْعِبَادِ فَبَخِلُوا بِذَلِكَ. And Allah commanded them to share some of these blessings with the slaves, but they were stingy. They were miserly. They did not share these blessings of Allah. Whether it is position, meaning you'll be able to do shafa'a for someone, intercede for someone to get a job, provided that they are qualified. Provided that they are qualified. You have a position with the manager, you can give help your brother get a job, then you do so. But provided that you're not wronging someone else, meaning another person applied for the job who's more qualified than your brother, now you don't go there and try to get your brother in, because that's dhulm. But if it wasn't the case, then shafa'ah with the jah, with mal, helping people financially, and with ilm, with knowledge. If you know something and you have sound, firm knowledge of it, because you have to be careful about what we really know and what we think we know, then you must also share it with the people. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. As for the questioner, do not scold him. And the ulama have differed on this issue, or as let's say they have multiple interpretations to the ayah. One of them is dealing with money. If someone asks you for money, then do not, you know, prevent them and you know, scream at them. Either give them, or with gentleness, refuse. And other ulama interpret it as knowledge. If someone comes to ask me about knowledge, then do not scold them. Unless you know that he's playing games. Because you know you have some people who come and they want to categorize you according to a sect. He wants to see where you belong. So he'll ask you particular questions, you know, that are aiming at something. And if you know that this person is trying to play around, you don't have to answer. I mean, you can scold them. Say, listen man, I don't want to answer your questions. You know, mind your business. Because you have these individuals today. But you know, maybe you don't have come across them. Alhamdulillah, and no need to elaborate on that if you've never come across them. I get them in the email all the time. على كل حال وأمسكوه وظلوا به على عباد الله. So they withheld this wealth, knowledge, position, and they did not share it with the slaves of Allah. وظنوا أنه خير لهم. And they thought all this was good for them. This is good for them. بل هو شر لهم في دينهم ودنياهم وعاجلهم وآجلهم. However, it is evil for them in their religion and in their worldly life, in the sooner affairs and the later ones. And the quick one and the long one. In this dunya and in the life to come. All of them in both worlds. These actions of theirs will be evil for them. سَيُطَوَّقُونَ مَا بَخَلُوا بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ مِسْتَرْ بُسْتَنَيْرَ. Yes, and I'm Lebanese. طيب. So there will be then this money of theirs will surround them on the day of resurrection, أن يجعل ما بخلوا به طوقا في أعناقهم يعذبون به كما ورد في الحديث الصحيح.
So that thing, the things which they withheld, they will be wrapped around their necks.
And they will be punished with that same thing. As it comes in the authentic narration, إِنَّ الْبَخِيلَ يُمَثَّلُ لَهُ مَالُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ شُجَاعًا أَقْرَعَ لَهُ زَبِيبَتَانْ يَأْخُذُ بِلَهْزَمَتِهِ يَقُولُ أَنَا مَالُكَ أَنَا كَنْزُكَ.
The one who used to withhold paying zakah, his wealth will come to him in the form of a snake, a big old snake. And it will basically punish him, and it will say to him, I am your wealth, I am your treasure. Yani you used to withhold me from paying me out, and so now I come to you. You wanted to keep me, here I am. And this thing will be something that this person will be punished with over and over again in Jahannam wal iyadu billah. So if one of us has a bit of zakah money, you better start calculating that. And you don't calculate it according to January. Wallah, it was last January, this January, no habibi. You have to do it according to the Hijri year. Hijri, because there's a difference. The Gregorian calendar has 365 days. The Hijri calendar, it will never make it beyond, it will never make it to 360. It's usually around 355 or more or less, because the month is either 29 or 30 days. You calculate it. If every month was 30 days, which is impossible, 30 times 12, that's 360. And that's never the case. So you're talking about approximately 355 days. So that's a 10-day discrepancy between the Gregorian calendar and the Hijri calendar. So if the money was due on the Hijri calendar and you're doing it on the Gregorian, you're 10 days late. And that's major haram. 10 days is a long time to delay one zakah. So we need to recalculate them according to the Hijri calendar. Clear enough? If you're not sure when that was, the ulama say, you estimate. And there's no harm in paying soon. Yani, let's say you don't know, but wallah, I have no idea when zakah is due. Tomorrow, pay out the zakah and begin time management, I guess. And khalas, so you know, in Muharram 17, I paid zakah. If that money remains over the nisab for a whole year, then next Muharram, the 17th, this money is due. But don't just leave the money unpaid, because you don't know when you actually reach the nisab. Yani these matters are the people taking zakah very lightly, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq fought against people who used to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and establish salah, but they said, we will not pay zakah. He fought against them. And he said, I will not separate between salah and zakah when Allah did not separate between them in the Quran. And so he was very firm. Even Umar was reluctant in the beginning, but when he seen that Abu Bakr was consistent and persistent, he said, I knew that this was inspiration from Allah. I knew that he was upon the truth. And so even though Usama was supposed to go elsewhere, he was sent on an expedition, and the Muslims were in a very tough time. The Arabs apostated, the big fitna at the death of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah Azza wa Jal protected the deen of Islam through Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his wise decisions and the actions which he took. Waalaikum salam. Hey, وَتَلَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ مِصْدَاقَ ذَلِكَ هَذِي الْآيَةِ. Now when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم narrated the hadith which I quoted to you earlier, he recited this ayah as a supporting evidence for the hadith.
فَهَؤُلَاءِ حَسِبُوا أَنَّ بُخْلَهُمْ نَافِعُهُمْ وَمُجْدٍ عَلَيْهِمْ فَانْقَلَبْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمْرُ.
So these people thought that their misery, that's a word, or their stinginess is going to benefit them and it's going to help them, but it backfired on them. They thought that we're keeping the money so we can benefit. The money which they kept were not being the source of their destruction. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ
وَصَارَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ مَضَارِهِمْ وَسَبَبِ عَقَابِهِمْ. It became among the greatest harmful elements in their lives and the reason behind their punishment. To continue or not to continue. Ayah 181.
Well, you know. طيب, let's see. Here we go.
ولله ميراث السماوات والأرض والله بما تعملون خبير ويرد الربي.
Sorry.
أي هو تعالى مالك الملك وترد جميع الأملاك إلى مالكها.
Allah and to Allah belongs the inheritance of the heavens and the earth. Or Allah will inherit the heavens and the earth. He is the one مالك الملك. Is there a difference between them?
Come on. This is, we read ayah number 180. This is the end of ayah number 80. This is not a new ayah. That's why I realized that it's part of it. Ha jama'a, what is the difference between Malik and Mulk? Or what is the difference between Malik and Malik? You know that in the Quran, in Surah Al-Fatiha, there are two famous acceptable recitations that most people don't know. You can say Maliki Yawm al-Din, and you can say Maliki Yawm al-Din. And some of the ulama say Malik is even more virtuous than Malik, and it is stronger than Malik.
Judge.
What is the difference between a Malik?
Malik is the king.
No, Malik, I didn't say Malik.
Malik is a judge.
No, owner.
Owner.
Even when you buy a car, you say, they say Malik, who's the Malik of this house, of this car? Malik, the owner. Malik, king. Now let me ask you a question.
Malik.
Is every owner a king?
No.
Is every owner a king?
No.
Is every king an owner?
Yes.
Yes. Yes? A king what? Sitting on the floor? Huh? A king sitting on the floor? No. You can own a property, but you're not a king. But if you're a king, you better know you have some property. Otherwise, you wouldn't be a king. So that's what some of the ulama say, Maliki Yawm al-Din is even stronger than Maliki Yawm al-Din. Because Allah is the owner of the Day of Judgment inevitably, but the king, meaning he's the owner and more. So there's an extra meaning. That's why the sunnah, if you want to follow the sunnah, is that when you recite the Fatiha, every time you recite it, you use a different one. The sunnah, whenever we have more than one acceptable variation from the Prophet ﷺ, you apply all of them at different times. So in, like, for example, in As-Salatul Ibrahimiyyah, we have different formulas. Every time you say a different one, so the salah will not become a ritual. The dua al-istiftah, the dua at the beginning of salah, you don't recite the same one every time. There are around 5 to 6 authentic ones every time you recite one. In ruku', sometimes you say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, sometimes Subhana Rabbi al-Azimi wa bihamdi, sometimes Subhanakallahu bihamdik Rabbi ighfirli. Sometimes اللهم لك ركعت وبك آمنت وعليك ولك أسلمت خشع لك سمعي وبصري ومخي وعصبي. All these are authentic narrations and adiyah during ruku'. Same thing in sujood, same thing between the sajdatayn. So you find we have different authentic statements from the Prophet ﷺ. The sunnah is that you apply all of them, you varietize. So your salah will not be like a machine, every time the same, sawa. Right? You change. That's the sunnah. So in the salah, one time, but don't do this when you're leading people in the salah. Because ignorance has become so widespread that if you were to lead the people in the salah and you say, Maliki Yawm al-Din, the people behind you will correct you. And they will say, Maliki Yawm al-Din. And then later they say, Jahil, this Jahil Imam, he doesn't know how to recite the Fatiha. The truth is, he's Jahil. He doesn't know that there's another valid recitation of Malik as Malik. You know what I'm saying? This happens very often. After the Adhan of Jumu'ah, the first Adhan, many people who don't know the Sunnah get up and pray. And he waits. Okay, it's time. They call the Adhan. Allahu Akbar. And then he looks at you, say, look at this guy, man, he doesn't pray the Sunnah. And he looks at, actually, you don't even know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. Did they have, how many Adhans were there at the time of the Prophet ﷺ? One. When was it? After he came in alayhi salatu salam, got on the minbar, said salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, sat down, the adhan was called, salah was established, khutbah was delivered.
begin with. There's no basis for this in the Sunnah, period. You understand what I'm saying? During Uthman's time, radiallahu anhu, the second adhan was added because of necessity, and we were commanded to follow the Sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, because the Muslims were so many, and so far they needed to notify them that the time is approaching, so they can prepare themselves, then one for the actual Jum'ah. So then this is when the first adhan came. Otherwise there was never two adhans. So then we say, did the Prophet ﷺ pray anything at home before Jum'ah? No. Aisha and his wives never narrated to us that he prayed anything. So if they never did something, never narrated, meaning it's not from the Sunnah. Because Aisha described, Prophet ﷺ would pray two rak'at, then he would go for Fajr. Then she said he will come back, he will pray four before Dhuhr, he will lead the people on Salah, come back and pray two in my house. Then he will pray two after Maghrib, two after Isha. She described to us the times he prayed the Surah al-Rawatib. She never said, or any other wife, or any other Sahabi, that he ever prayed anything before Jum'ah. So praying anything before Jum'ah is not from the Sunnah. Even if the whole masjid stands up to pray, this is ignorance. They don't know any better. May Allah reward them for the niyyah, good intention, but the act is not according to the Sunnah. So we are living in times where ignorance is so widespread that the one who follows the Sunnah strictly is considered ignorant by the ignorant. You see what I'm saying? It's amazing. I was walking the other day, a few weeks ago, and there was a nail, you know, the screw on the ground. And the Sunnah is when something is in the way of the Muslims, even if it's a nail which may give someone a flat tire, the Sunnah is to take it away and throw it in the dumpster. So I'm walking, you know, dressed, you know, in a decent looking thawb, I guess. So I go down on the floor and pick it up to throw it in the trash, and the person looks at me like, look at this guy picking up a nail from the floor. His idea was that I'm so, you know, I don't know what to call it, that even if I saw a nail, I want to take it home. You know? Say, okay, there's a nail. Yeah! Free nail. And he's looking at me like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, Akhi, I want to throw this in the trash, man. I'm trying to move it out of the harm of the people. But like I said, it's we're living in strange times. You try to go to the masjid before adhan time and see if the limousines will leave you. They're not used to finding, you know, they're not used to having people go to the masjid before adhan. So just a minute before adhan, he has no idea what time salah comes. If you see walking down the street, all the taxis will, you know, on the one trying to get you on. Otherwise, they should have realized these are people going to the masjid, man. He doesn't need a ride. Especially when you walk in this way and he's going that way. But again, it has become, the Islam is becoming strange among the Muslims. If you really want to live according to the deen, the ignorant people will think you're ignorant. The people who practice innovation think you don't love the Sunnah, you don't act upon the Sunnah, and everything will be turned against you. So you have to adhere and be firm. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will honor those who adhere to the Sunnah sooner or later. Inshallah, it doesn't go away for free. على كل حال Malik then, going back to our discussion, I don't know how I got here as usual. Malik then is the owner. Al-Mulk is the sovereignty, meaning he's the sovereign, he's the owner of all the dominions of the heavens and the earth. وَتُرَجْ جَمِيعِ الْأَمَاكِ الْأَمَلِكَ And all belongings should be referred back to their original owner. وَيَنْقَلِبِ الْعِبَادِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا مَا مَعَهُمْ دِرْهَمْ وَلَا دِنَارُ وَلَا غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْمَالِ Every slave, all the slaves will abandon this dunya, will leave this world without a riyal or a pesos or a halala, if you want to translate dirham and dinar, and no other kind of currency. No one will leave with some money with him, which will be of any benefit on Yawm al-Qiyamah. قَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَرِثُ الْأَرْضَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ Verily it is we who inherit the earth and whatever is upon it, and to us they shall return. وتأمل كيف ذكر السبب الابتدائي والسبب الغائب الموجب كل واحد منهما أن لا يبقى للعبد بما أعطاه الله. Now mention notice how Allah mentioned the introductory reason and the conclusive reason, which both of them necessitate that none of us should be miserly and stingy. To Allah belongs the heavens and the earth. To Allah you will return. The first one is
Everything you own is Allah's property. So why don't you spend? Allah can give you more. And what you're spending is really Allah's belonging to begin with. To Allah you return, you're not going to take anything with you. So both the introductory statement and the concluding statement, both of them entail that you should spend and don't be miserly, because it's from Allah, and you to Allah you won't go back. So there's no escape from that.
أخبر أولا أن الذي عنده وفي يده فضل من الله ونعم ليس ملكا للعبد.
So Allah explained for us that the one in whose hand is the virtue or is the bounties from Allah, and it does not belong to the slave.
بل لولا فضل الله عليه وإحسانه لم يصل إليه منه شيء.
إليه منه شيء. If it wasn't for Allah's mercy and bounty, we would have not acquired anything. Nothing.
فمنعه ذلك منع لفضل الله وإحسانه.
So when one prevents them, prevents himself from spending, he's in fact preventing Allah's bounties and Allah's goodness.
ولأن إحسانه موجب للإحسان إلى عبيده.
And because you, Allah showing kindness to us necessitates that we show kindness to His creation. You know, Allah shows kindness to us and we show kindness to His creation.
وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك.
Who was the statement said to? Wallah, we're far away from the Quran, ya jama'at al-khair. I didn't say with surah. This expression, وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا. Who was this expression made to in the Quran? No. No. He was a defiant, disobedient, wicked disbeliever. No. No. Qarun. You remember the Surah Al-Qasas? At the end of it, you hear the story of Qarun. Qarun was given a lot of wealth, and Musa and people advised him, fear Allah and this, and he said, this is all my own skills. This money is because of my own skills. فَخَسَفَ بِهِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ caused the earth to swallow him. At some point, it was said to him, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Do good the same way Allah has done goodness to you. Yeah, and Allah gave you all this money. Don't be arrogant and prideful. Share it with others. وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And don't forget your portion of the dunya. We're not saying give all your wealth and live on the street. Live life, but you know, do good to the people. He rejected, so Allah Azza wa Jal caused the earth to swallow him. Hey, we need to become more familiar with the book of Allah, Shabab. That's why I remind myself and you, in Ramadan and outside Ramadan, it is not about the recitation. It's not about khatma, one khatma, two khatma, three khatma. If you do five khatma and you still don't know what the Quran is speaking about, this khatma may be your opponent on Yawm al-Qiyamah. What did you do with this khatma? Showing off? This book was sent down for reflection and understanding, not for mere recitation. Yes, the recitation is praiseworthy, but it's not enough. Because Allah, when He wanted to make fun of the Jews, when He wanted to degrade them, He said, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِي. And among them are illiterate ones who know nothing of the book by recitation. Ibn Abbas said tilawa. They only know how to recite tajweed. Inna blah blah blah. Sounds good, mashallah. Beautiful imam, beautiful qari, beautiful hafiz. But he doesn't know anything. This is the Jews. They knew the Torah, but they wouldn't live up to it. They wouldn't live according to it. And they didn't understand the message of it. That's why they went against it. Tooth and nail. So we have to stop this ritualism. In Ramadan and outside Ramadan, pray, either learn Arabic, and if you say, I can't yet, ma fi mushkila. Until then, bring a translated version of the meaning of the Quran and read them simultaneously. So when you read this page about the story of Qarun, you would have read it in English, and you know what the Quran is trying to deliver as a message. What is the lesson behind it? But just to read it like that is no good. And Shaykh al-Sabi Qutaymiyyah said, if people refuse to do this with a worldly book, yeah, and if you wanted to become a doctor, is it sufficient that you read the books of medicine without understanding anything and say, okay, Allah, next patient, what am I going to do? I'm going to do a surgery. Do you know what you're doing? No, but I read the books of medicine. If it was was an Italian, and you don't speak Italian. But you learn how to pronounce Italian words, but you don't understand the meaning of the Italian language. Can you read an Italian book of medicine and go become a doctor? No. Even if you memorized it? No. Until you understand what the instructions in the book were about. So if this is how we accept worldly knowledge and any book of the dunya, then how do we understand the book of Allah then? It has more of a right to be understood adequately. Ala kulli hal, no problem inshallah, we can always make up what we have missed in the past. فَمَنْ تَحَقَّقَ أَنَّ مَا بِيَدِهِ فَضْلٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ لَمْ يَمْنَعِ الْفَضْلَ الَّذِي لَا يَضُرُّهُ بَلْ يَنْفَعُهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَمَالِهِ وَزِيَادَةِ إِيمَانِهِ وَحِفْظِهِ مِنَ الْآفَاتِ. So the one then who internalizes that in Allah's hand is the ultimate bounty, he will not prevent the slaves of Allah from the bounty which Allah had given him. Rather, he will know that this will benefit him in his heart, it will benefit him in his wealth, it will increase his iman, and it will protect him from calamities. It will protect him from calamities. ثم ذكر ثانيا أن هذا الذي بيد العباد كلها ترجع إلى الله ويرثها تعالى وهو خير الوارثين. Then Allah reminded again, he mentioned secondly, that all that which the slaves hold in their hands, all of it shall return to Allah, and Allah will inherit everything, and He is the best of inheritors. فلا معنى للبخل بشيء هو زائل عنك منتقل إلى غيرك. So there's no wisdom or benefit behind being miserly concerning something which is about to leave you and go to someone else. The wealth will be inherited by the children who usually don't use it very wisely. And we will conclude with this. ثم ذكر ثالثا السبب الجزائي. Then Allah mentioned thirdly the reward associated. So first, everything is from Allah. Second, you will return to Allah. Third, the reward. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. And Allah concerning all that which you do is well acquainted. خَبِيرٌ is more than عَلِيم. عَلِيم is knowledge. خَبِيرٌ in the I don't want to call it street language, but in the usage of the word خَبِيرٌ among the Arabs is used for the one with expertise. An expert is called خَبِيرٌ. يعني فلان خبير في كذا. When a man came to Abu Sa'id al-Khudri رضي الله عنه وارضاه, asking him about where the garment should end, the lower garment of the pants or the izar or whatever you wear, where should be the limit, he told him على الخبير سقط. You have come across someone who's well acquainted with that. Then he told him the Prophet ﷺ said that your izra, your lower garment should be halfway up your calves, yani between your knees and your ankles. If you insist, then below that. If you insist, then below that. But the ankles do not have the right to get any of the garment. Yani anything below the ankles is in the hellfire. The maximum length of your pants, jeans, dress pants, whatever you wear, is the ankles, above the ankles that is. Not the ankle itself, just above the ankle. Anything below that will be in the hellfire, meaning the one who used to wear it will be in the hellfire. Hadith is in Bukhari. This ma asfala min al-izari min al-ka'bayni fa fi an-nar. And this is something which we need to submit to. There's no philosophy involved. That's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And there's a whole lecture I delivered on this topic called Hell Equals Garment. Yani, will you enter hell because of a garment? And go to YouTube, put Hell Equals Garment, watch the whole lecture, an hour something, discussing all the narrations concerning this ruling of Islam, which Muslims have taken lightly today, and wallahi, it is not a light matter at all. In fact, it's very dangerous. So we need to act according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is an obligation. This aspect of the sunnah is a fard. Ala kulli hal, فَإِذَا كَانَ خَبِيرًا بِأَعْمَالِكُمْ جَمِيعِهَا وَيَسْتَلْزِمْ ذَلِكَ الْجَزَاءُ الْحَسَنُ عَلَى الْخَيْرَاتِ وَالْعُقُوبَاتِ وَعَلَى الشَّرِّ لَمْ يَتَخَلَّفْ مَنْ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ إِيمَانٍ عَنِ الْإِنْفَاقِ الَّذِي يُجْزِي بِهِ الثَّوَابُ وَلَا يَرْضَى بِالْإِمْسَاكِ الَّذِي بِهِ الْعِقَابُ. So if we know then that Allah is well acquainted, He's the expert concerning everything which we do, this necessitates that He will reward with goodness those who do good, and He will punish those who do bad. None of us, no one who has a grain of mustard, of iman in his heart, will withhold from spending and doing good. Will withhold from spending on doing good, which will bring about the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal, and no one will accept for himself to withhold, knowing that this will bring about the punishment of Allah. So this is the conclusion of these ayat. Bi-idhnillahi Azza wa Jal, if we all remain alive and healthy and we walk in at 9:15 sharp, we will be dealing with ayat 182 and whatever Allah facilitates for us. وَسُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. أهلا وسهلا.